Good morning to each one. I greet you this morning in the name of Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That was prophetic when it was said, God with us. And yet it is a privilege to stand on this side of the birth of Christ here on Christmas morning and worship together. Today we think about In a special way, we think about God the Son taking on true humanity and coming to earth as a babe. And while we don't leave the Christ child in the manger, his birth was an important and essential step in the plan for man's redemption. I think each one of you would agree that we don't leave Christ in the manger, as so many people do. But at the same point, we don't disregard the birth of Christ, because it is certainly a part of an important step in the plan for man's redemption. And so I think it's appropriate to think about the birth of Christ this morning and to talk about the birth of Christ and the birth of Jesus on a special day. I'd like to read Luke's account, the birth of Christ, a very familiar passage. Many of you probably know it by memory. Some of you, probably school students, just recently learned it and could recite it by memory. Excuse me. But I would like to read it, think about it again. It doesn't grow old. It's a story that, even though we've heard it many times, even though we've read it many times, even though it is familiar to us, it is an interesting story, interesting account, one that doesn't grow old. So I would like to read that this morning before we go into the sermon. Second chapter of Luke, going to read the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The sermon title this morning is The Shepherds and the Lamb. The Shepherds and the Lamb. And from the Christmas story that we just read here, from the story of Christ's birth, I'd like to pull out thoughts, especially in regards to the shepherds and their activities surrounding the birth of Christ. Shepherds and the Lamb. Out of the whole society around Bethlehem and Jerusalem, God chose shepherds to be the first to hear the news of Christ's birth. Other than Joseph and Mary, we don't read of anyone else that heard or knew about the coming of, of Christ, the birth of Christ before the shepherds. And from a human perspective, shepherds seem like a strange group to be chosen. And I don't know a lot about Palestinian culture and practice at that time. And I think if we would know more about that, it would probably make the picture even clearer to us. But we're told that shepherds were among the lowest and most despised social groups. The very nature of their work, being there with the animals and working with everything that they had to work with, kept them from entering into the mainstream of Israel's society. They couldn't maintain the ceremonial washings and observe all the religious festivals and feasts while they were involved with the animals and out in the wilderness, out in the country day after day. And you'll recall how when Samuel came to anoint King David, that David was not present with the other brothers and Jesse, his father, at the sacrifice. It's because he, as the youngest, was relegated to keeping the sheep while the older ones came to the sacrifice. And so you see how keeping the sheep was often even the younger sons or even a slave, or they hired someone to take care of the sheep. It was not a prominent position. The verses here in Luke say that the shepherds were abiding in the field. And most likely these shepherds were living in the open field under the open sky, even at nighttime, as they were tonight. Quite possibly, their personal appearance and cleanliness was less than desirable. And you know how it is for anyone that's taking care of animals. And God bless the farmers. We need them. But you know how it is in the middle of the week if you're in a store, hardware store, and a farmer may come in an hour or two away, and without seeing him, you know that he's there. And quite possibly, these shepherds were in much the same condition. And you would think that they were not the group to be chosen to come and welcome a newborn baby. Not typically the type of group, probably a little rough, probably hadn't had a good bath in a couple of days. Living outside in whatever circumstances they found themselves. Not typically the group of people that you would invite to celebrate the birth of a newborn child. But then again, there were many details of Christ's birth which we know were not typical and that run counter to human thought and ideals. And we know that Christ was born in a manger, probably in a stable, if there was a manger there. And so it was fitting that the shepherds could come and welcome him, because certainly they were used to being around animals, used to being with the animals. But why did the message come to the shepherds and not to a group of more prominent men or more learned men or more civilized, more cultured, more religious men? What about the scribes and Pharisees? What about the priests? What about the Levites? Why did the message not come to them? Why did the message come to a group of shepherds out in the countryside? As you think about it, it actually was very fitting that the message should come to a group of shepherds. And as I thought on this, pondered on this, I had to think about the fact of who had come, who was born. Who was it that was born on that night? Prior to the birth of Christ, when Joseph discovered that his wife was expecting, and he says he was ready to put her away privately, but an angel came to Joseph, and in a dream, he shared with him, and he told Joseph that Mary was going to have a son, and he said that it is okay. It is all right. Mary was going to bring forth a son, and they were to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How would Jesus save his people from their sins? Well, the Jewish people knew full well that the way to redemption was through the sacrifice of a perfect lamb. That was well ingrained into them. They knew that. From little on up, they had been taught that. And here was Jesus, it says, will save his people from their sins. They knew that it took the sacrifice of a perfect lamb. And here came a change from the the animal lamb, to the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ was coming. He was taking on true humanity and would offer the ultimate sacrifice by giving his life on the cross and shedding his sinless blood for the redemption of mankind. You'll recall how John the Baptist, in meeting Jesus just before he began his earthly ministry, John met Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God. So you see, it was quite fitting that shepherds should come on that night to welcome, to celebrate, to welcome Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It is also quite possible that those shepherds on the hillside in the country were taking care of sheep that were designated for temple sacrifice, which spoke of Jesus and the reason for his coming into the world. I don't know how many sheep it took each year, each Passover especially, for all the sacrifice for the lambs, the perfect lambs that needed to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. But it's quite likely that the sheep that they were taking care of were possibly used for animal sacrifice. And as they tenderly care for their sheep out in the country, knowing full well their destiny, and that they pointed forward to the perfect lamb, their hearts were probably more prepared to receive Jesus than were many others of that day. Think about taking care of a little animal. I know there was hundreds of them probably, but think about taking care of these little animals and knowing that within probably a month or two, possibly, they were going to be sacrificed as a perfect lamb. And your care for them, you knew their destiny. And as you went through that experience, you realized that there was a perfect Lamb of God coming, and you grasped that, you realized that, possibly better than many of the religious leaders of the day. The Hebrew writer, in looking back, thinking about Jesus coming as a sacrifice, Jesus coming as a Lamb of God, he says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world," so when Jesus comes into the world, as he did on that holy night, "when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not." Sacrifice of lambs, bringing of offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Jesus Christ came in a physical human body. And instead of the sacrifices and offerings of the Old Testament, he was going to sacrifice his body. Another verse in Hebrews says, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." We are made of flesh and blood. We are humans. And it says because we are humans, there needed to be a human sacrifice. Because we're partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also, Jesus Christ, likewise took part of the same. He became human. He became flesh, so that he might, through his death, destroy the power of death. That is the devil. On that night, the birth of the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd of our souls was born. And so certainly it was fitting that shepherds would come and celebrate the birth of this lamb. It seems evident from their response, which we will look at in a bit, the response of the shepherds, that they were among those who, like Simeon in the temple, were waiting for the consolation or the messianic hope of Israel. Think about the response of the shepherds, how they responded to the message and what they did. I believe they were waiting for the Messiah. Too often, I think we put the shepherds in a box of the people that don't know or didn't care. And here the message came to them. But I believe they were a part of Israel who were, like Simeon, waiting for the consolation of the messianic hope, the promised Messiah. And very much in character with Jesus' ministry here on earth, where he associated with more often with publicans and sinners and the low down, cast down, and the down and outers. And he calls his followers to be servants and shepherds, not lords. And very much in keeping with that, there were shepherds that were invited to welcome Jesus to this earth. So we read about the appearance of the shepherds, of the angels to the shepherds. First of all, there was one angel that came, and stood before them. And just imagine that they were out in the countryside in the dark, complete darkness, away from civilization, away from light. And they were taking turns tending their flocks throughout the night. And all of a sudden, the angel came and stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. It wasn't just a bright light right there. It says it shone round about them. It encompassed them. And lighting the darkened skies, the darkened area. And no doubt this was the Shekinah glory. The glory of God, it says. And in the Old Testament, it talks numerous times, a couple of times, about the glory of God being seen. And it was a bright light, a brilliant light, a white light. And it represented God's holiness and God's presence. And I think tonight, as the angel came to the shepherds, and the glory of God, the light of God shone, it was an indication of God's holiness and God's presence. The sudden appearance of a supernatural creature along with the blazing light in the middle of the night brought fear. And that is common. That would be common to anyone. Any mortal man who is brought into the presence of a holy God, the light of a holy God, and the presence of a supernatural creature brings fear. The manifestation of God's glory and God's holiness brings fear to the hearts of mortal man. But we notice the message that was given to the shepherds. The very first words that the angel said was, "Fear not." It says, because they were sore afraid, but the angel said, "Fear not. There is no reason to fear. Do not be fearful." The message of good news that they were bringing is a message that has the power to dispel fear. And even today yet, the message, the good news, can dispel fear. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." This was an announcement of good news. This was going to bring real joy. This was going to bring great joy. A large amount of joy into their lives. And then he says, "which shall be to all people." And we're told that the original may have been more like, "which shall be to all the people." And it doesn't make a lot of difference, except that the very first proclamation to the shepherds, to the Jewish people, "which shall be to all the people," was probably referring directly to the Jews who were waiting for their Messiah. This good tidings which shall be to all people. It was not just for the shepherds. It wasn't a message just for the shepherds. It was a message for the entire nation of Israel. Their Messiah was come. He was bringing salvation, first of all, to the Jews, and then to the Gentiles also. And we know how the Jews, in rejecting the Messiah, opened up the door more fully. It became especially a gospel for all people. And today, as Gentiles, we are recipients of that. We have the door to salvation open for us. But he says here that it's going to bring joy, great joy, which shall be to all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, a deliverer, born for you." It says, "For unto you is born." It was a personal message, the message to the shepherds, directed personally to them. "For unto you is born a Savior." And that message is directed personally to each one of us today. "For unto you is born a Savior." "For unto me is born a Savior." Jesus Christ came as a Savior personally for each one of us, to be each one of our personal Saviors. "This day, unto you," it says, "unto you is born this day." The Messiah had come. And when you think about, I don't think we can grasp what the Jews, their thought processes as they waited for the Messiah. But they waited and waited and waited. And it was it 400 years since they had a prophet that told them about the coming of the Lord, the silent years. But they were waiting and waiting and waiting. The message said, "This day," today it had happened, the Messiah had come. Hundreds of years ago, the prophets had foretold his coming, and this day it had happened. The day that was longed for and anticipated had finally come. This was not an event of the future. It was an event of today. "And this shall be the sign, a babe lying in a manger." This is how they knew who was the Christ, which baby that was born in Bethlehem that night was the Christ, the babe lying in a manger. The fact that Jesus came as a babe is another affirmation that God became man and took on true humanity. This was not a sudden appearance of a full-grown man that today, here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No, it was a human. It took on the normal process and the process of growing and being born as a baby. And it's just another indication that Jesus Christ took on humanity. He became a man. As the first angel closed his message, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of angels." A multitude of angels joined the first angel. Not a few more, not a couple dozen more, probably not even 30 or 40 more, but a multitude. I don't know how many it was. A multitude of angels, a great number of angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, a multitude of the heavenly armies joined in praise and worship to God. Certainly a fitting response to the news of the birth of Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We have them recognizing God in heaven above. Glory to God, giving him glory for sending his Son. God was the designer. God was the one that planned all this, that brought the events to pass, and sent his Son to be the Lamb. And they gave glory to God in heaven above, high in heaven above. And then they sent the message of peace to the earth, to mankind, to men on the earth, the promise of peace that Jesus was bringing to mankind here on the earth, all in the same event. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Next we have the response of the shepherds. As the angels left, they completed their message, their chorus, their praise, their worship, and they disappeared. So the shepherds had heard the news, and the grandeur of the message was fresh on their minds. The question was, how will they respond? What will they do about it? Were they going to act on the news they had received, or would they file it away as just a bit of interesting information? They could have made excuses. We are good shepherds. We can't run off and leave our sheep by themselves. Not in the middle of the night, something might get our sheep. They could have said, we'll look like fools running around town in the middle of the night, trying to find a baby that was just born. We'll disturb the peace of the family. Maybe they could have said, let's wait till daylight. Certainly, if the baby was just born tonight, he'll be there yet in the morning. But no, they did not make excuses. Instead, as soon as the angel had left, they began to speak. It doesn't say excitedly, but I believe from their conversation it was excitedly. They began to speak excitedly among themselves. It says they spoke one to another, and they probably, most likely, talked on top of each other, back and forth, didn't wait for the other one to finish. They spoke one to another. They exhorted each other with the words, "Let us." Let us is a call to others to join in the action. Let us go and see. They acted with purpose. Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. Their purpose was to see the Christ child and to know that the Christ child that the angels had spoken about in their message. No longer was their occupation the most important thing. No longer was the safety of their sheep their top priority. Remember, these men were shepherds. Shepherds were known for their faithfulness. Shepherds were known for their faithfulness to their sheep, going to great lengths to protect them, to take care of them. But all of a sudden, their sheep didn't matter so much. You'll recall the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. That is the heart of a shepherd, taking care of my sheep, being there, and even laying down his life for the sheep. But all of a sudden, those things didn't matter. There was something much more important that was grabbing their attention. They had a different purpose calling them at the moment. And so they acted immediately and quickly. They didn't wait around. It says, let's go now. And they came in haste. It was immediate and it was quick. There was no procrastinating. There was no putting off until tomorrow. There were no good intentions that were not followed through with. No, they acted immediately and quickly. And it says that they came and found the babe. They found Jesus. And the word found there has the idea of searching and finding. I don't know how much of a searching process it was. I don't know how much time it took. But nonetheless, they kept searching. They didn't give up. They kept searching until they found the baby. And when they had seen, indicates physical observance, but it may also mean to perceive and understand and experience. These shepherds, even though they were some of the lower class people, you could say, they had their spiritual eyes enlightened on that night, both by the message from the angels and also in coming and seeing the baby Jesus. Yes, they saw physically with their physical eyes, but I think more importantly, their spiritual eyesight and their spiritual insight was enlightened from having seen the Lord, from having come in contact with the Christ child, and also from having the message given to them by the angels. And as they left as missionaries. It says they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Made known abroad. I suppose everyone they met found out about their experience. It says made known abroad. It was no secret. They had heard some good news. The good news had touched their lives, and they had a compulsion to tell others. They were not selective in who they told. They went about telling everyone. They did not keep their experience to themselves. They shared it with everyone. They had been given a gift, and they willingly and freely shared it with others. And they worshiped. In verse 20 it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The shepherds worshiped. They returned probably to their sheep, probably to their normal realm of duties, probably back out to the fields. They were not called to be living in the city, to be missionaries in the city at this point. They were called to go back to their sheep, go back to their normal duties. But it says, as they went, they worshiped. They went with a song in their hearts and praise on their lips, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And as we think about the actions, the responses particularly of the shepherds, there are so many parallels that we can pull out for our lives today in how we respond and how we take the messages that we hear, the Word of God. Whether we act quickly upon what we're called to do or whether we procrastinate, push it off, wait till tomorrow, wait for a better time. Whether we worship as we return to our work, or do we worship only on Sunday mornings? Do we worship only when we're gathered together? If we don't worship throughout the week, if we don't worship in our daily lives, then I doubt whether we worship Sunday morning when we come together. Personal worship, personal devotion is the only way that we can have public worship. We have a message from God today. And you may say that if the angels would come to you at nighttime and share a message, we would wake up and believe too. But the shepherds did not respond to the messenger as such. They responded to the message. The message was that the Christ was born and he was there. And they responded to that and went. We have the written word of God. We have the message of God. We have the spoken word of God. As men of God speak the word. The question is, how will we respond? Will we be like the shepherds? Like the humble shepherds, will we allow it to dictate our priorities and schedules? Yes, even in the middle of the night, the call of God comes. They left their sheep. In the middle of their work, they left their sheep. Will we allow it to dictate our priorities and schedules? Will we respond with enthusiasm and eagerness to follow the truth? I imagine that they cannot contain their eagerness, cannot contain their enthusiasm, and that is why all the people heard about it. But how do we respond? Well, we respond in enthusiasm, excited, eager to follow the truth. Is our pursuit in life like that of Paul's when he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings? Is that what our pursuit in life is? That we may know Christ, just as the shepherds, their pursuit was to find the babe in the manger? Or are we more like the religious leaders of the day? More like the scribes, the high priests and scribes? Think about the account where when the wise men came to Jerusalem, the men from the east, and it says when they came, they said that they asked where the king of the Jews was born because they saw his star. And Herod the king was troubled. It says, and all Jerusalem with him. I believe that the Israelites were also troubled when they heard this. And so what did Herod do? Well, he called for the chief priests and the scribes to gather together, and he asked them where Christ was to be born. Well, the chief priests and scribes knew the answer. They knew the scriptures. They knew it well. Most likely, they did not even have to look to find the answer. Their answer was instant. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That was their answer. That was the chief priests and the scribes. But what did they do about it? Here someone had told them that they saw the star that indicated the king of the Jews was born. But they acted in indifference and unconcern. Sure, they knew the scriptures. They knew what the Bible said. But they responded cold and indifferently. They showed no interest. But yet these were the religious people of the day. So how will we respond? Will we be like the shepherds, the people that maybe were not considered the religious people, definitely were not considered the upper class, were not considered the people that would know, the people that should know, but yet they found out the message and they shared it with others? Another challenge for us today, can people see a difference in our lives because we have been with the Savior? Everyone who heard the testimony of the shepherds wondered at those things that were told them, It created interest. I don't know that any of those people went and found the Christ child, but at least they wondered. And the question for us today is, do people wonder after they have come in contact with us? Do they wonder because we have shown them that we have met the Savior, that we have met the Christ child, that we have met the Lamb of God? And then the shepherds knew how to worship. They went away glorifying God and praising him. And for us today, our worship, at Christmas time especially, you think about it, there are many, many other things that people are worshiping. And I don't have to tell you. You all know that. But what about us? Are our hearts pure? Are the distractions of the Christmas season and the holidays around us, are they distracting us? Are they taking our attention off of God? Or are we glorifying God and worshiping him? Not just at Christmas time, not just today, but every day of our lives, every day of the year as we go throughout our lives. I have a poem here yet that I would like to read. I came across as I was studying. And in regards to the shepherds and the lamb. I don't have a title for it, but this is how it goes. How could we be anything but true believers? We shepherds who heard the news firsthand from heaven. There stood the angel on the grazing ground, like a white fan, like a white blaze, lighting the air all around, telling us the promised one had come, and where he was, and what his destiny. And then that great ark of angels, singing, Ah, Gloria, we left our sheep that night and found the Lamb. So can we say that we left whatever it was, as the shepherds left their sheep that night and found the Lamb? Let's kneel for prayer.